Welcome to the GrowTribute podcast. This time the podcast is about business relationships as part of our core theme at GrowTribute, relationships. Today I have in the show my good friend and fellow entrepreneur Dennis Tan. Dennis is best known as the founder and CEO of the fast-growing company Dashmode. Dashmode is operating from three different continents and is helping large corporations with using their visual data. Dennis is not only managing and leading Dashmode, but he is the founder of several other companies. Since the age of 15, he has been founding and creating 25 different companies and organizations. Dennis is especially remarkable because on a yearly basis, he stays in contact with more than 1,000 different people, from investors, from dozens of mentees, mentors, all his team members, and his business friends, and of course also his personal network. He knows a lot about how to create business relationships, but also how to maintain those relationships and to even deepen them. So in this podcast, we will go into why he finds business relationships so important, how he creates them, how he maintains them, and we will also talk about a few other different topics. Enjoy. So Dennis, welcome at the GrowTribute podcast. Great having you here.
Excited to be here.
Thanks. Right. Yeah, so you own several companies. I know you have dozens of mentees, a lot of investors that you keep relations with.
Like this, it sounds like a lot.
Yeah. But and loads of other contacts probably. How important are relationships actually for you? Is it more like a part of the deal, a must, a to-do, or is it more than that?
I think it's much more than that. I mean, especially not just doing business, but generally things in life are built around trust. I think relationships are really essential to that part, you know? So I think relationship building, having relations, whether it's business or personal, I think it's incremental to life. I mean, in the end, we are social beings. To do anything, I think it's about connecting, you know, and making sure that that helps out. So yeah, I think it always has been for me like a central point, also just on the thinking topic, but also how
in life, but also in business.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And do you distinguish? Do you really divide relationships in business and in friends, family, like private, or is it more? Yeah, everything becomes a little bit blurry.
When I started, I pretty much did any kind of relationship. I always thought of like a concept of making it possible to make it as scalable as possible in my mind. But I think the one main distinguish I have is I only try to keep in relation, or not even try, actually do people that I enjoy spending time with. So even if, you know, some people are going abroad as well, like in saying like I want to spend time with people that could potentially be useful, for me it's rarely the opposite. I just like to spend time with a lot of people, and then whether you can do business with them or develop a moment with them together or something, that's the kind of guiding line. And in terms of defining it, yeah, obviously time is very limited. So you try to think of groups, essentially speaking, on how to divide these different aspects. But in general, you try to treat all the different groups in the same way, right? With respect and care and quality time, you know, these type of things.
Which groups do you have in mind? How is it going in your mind?
Yeah, for me it's very systematic, right? So at some point in my life, I think it was like 17 or 18, I figured I don't really understand the concept of like meeting new people, whether you go abroad or you do like an internship or somewhere, and then losing touch with those people, right? I mean, you shared a moment with them and you want to kind of keep that on, right? But normally you have this Dutch saying, uit het oog, uit het hart. I want to kind of prevent that. So I figured, okay, how to have an approach to make it more systematic to stay in touch. And then I thought of like different groups. So I kind of have kind of defined like, okay, I can keep with a lot of people in contact on like a lower kind of base. So I divided it more like in how much time I can spend on them. So I have a category where it's like, okay, unlimited time. And then I have a category where I say like, okay, at least once a week, once every 2 weeks, and so forth, basically.
And even the people that you want to speak to, have dinner with once a year, for instance?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of my Luckily, my friends know that, but a lot of them are also kind of like on different kind of listing where I say like at least I want to see them like once every quarter, once half a year. Yeah. And for a lot, that might not seem a lot, but because you kind of plan it ahead, yeah, or you perceive it, you can keep in touch with a lot of different groups. You know, you can combine it a bit better and see how that works out. Yeah.
Is there some kind of minimum for important friends or for important business relations? Would you say, for instance, twice a year, having a good chat, a dinner, a lunch, a long call, or is it once a year would also suffice?
Yeah, I think it depends on also how much you build up in the moments that you did spend a lot of time together. Yeah. So let's say the people you spent with like in kindergarten or high school, these type of things. But of course, it is about having an understanding what is going on in each other's life, and making sure that's what you can pick up right off. So either it's old moments, you know, or like currently knowing what's going on. If there's not enough base, it really becomes tedious because the conversation becomes really shallow, right? So you try to figure out a way to get more information. So that could be by sending or by reading the opposite kind of thing, what's going on, and having like these little moments of contact, you know, to not have it as kind of like dot, 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 but instead of a line, right? So relationship building for me is like having understanding what's going on in other people's their lives. And sometimes you can use a little bit of help with that. I think social media made it a lot easier, although it's only one layer of information, of course.
Yeah. Business-wise, do you also agree with kind of the saying that opportunities come in the form of people? Is it, did it work out that way for you in all the years that you've been an entrepreneur?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all opportunities come from the moments you create and the people that you meet in your life, right? So I think the one thing you know as an entrepreneur, but even if you're not an entrepreneur, is that you're reliant of other people, how they perceive you, how well they like you, these type of things. And of course, you want to be yourself and do these kind of things. But we all know, for example, Ivan Pavlov, you know, like training certain kind of aspects. The same thing happens on us in a daily basis when it comes to relationship, right? So familiarizing yourself allows you to have like exposure and people helping each other out. Yeah? So if people don't know who you are, it's less likely they'll be able to connect you or help you out with different things. And there was this research, I think 2 years ago or something, done by this assistant professor called Feldman. And the research was about kind of saying like, we trust certain strangers more than others. And most of these strangers we really trusted were we familiarized with other people. And I think this one also applies to business, right? So if you want to grow your network, you have to surround yourself with the people in the direction you want to grow to. So seeking more of those things really helps out in building those relationships by having the shared passions or having conversations and then building upon that.
So you maintain a lot of business relationships. Is there also kind of a secret how to establish, how to create a good business relationship? Or is that really just going intuitively always well? Or
I wouldn't say I'm an expert. I'm still learning myself as well. I try to do as many as I can, but I think for me, the trick is always to go for like genuine interest, right? So it's very hard to get to know more about the person when you don't know them. And then I think smaller tricks are things like making sure to actually find a way to retain that information, right? Mm-hmm. So the next time I see you, I would like to follow on the last conversation. And if your memory is not that great, you know, write little things down, you know, but you're remembering things. And then you also have talking points, like think of anniversaries or these kind of things. That's like a general, it's just that we always have to restart when you haven't seen a person for a while. But if you have that memory on mind, you know, it's easier with people you see more often, but also in business applies the same things. People like to see that you actually care and they will do their best as well the other way around, right? So I think it's about making sure you have something in mind to think of those kind of things, especially for business as well, right? So I go a bit more extreme. So I literally write down when kids' birthdays are of the people that I know, not because I think it's useful, but because I like it. I like to know how they're doing. For example, in my company, I know most of like the spouses, you know, the girlfriend or the boyfriends, and these type of things, because it's not just the relationship one-on-one, but also around the people around them, you know, and having a better understanding of the person you're speaking towards, right?
Yeah. Now in these times of crisis, things are changing.
Yeah.
And I know that you are an advocate for, yeah, keeping, creating more relationships, keeping better contact with people in times of crisis.
Yeah.
So what did it look like in the past months? Did you reach out to more people, or did they reach out to you?
Yeah, I think the point of relationship should be that you want to connect with others. So I think the warmth, the genuinity, and the consistency and the quality is the most important thing, right? Especially when time is of the matter. Then when it comes to crisis, I think it's a really good timing to actually spend more time with people, try to see whether you can help them out, etc. And we try always to lessen down the amount of communication we have when things go astray, but actually the opposite is more interesting, you know, to seek more context and see it, especially for business, you know. So in times like these, you want to be the listening ears to your clients, to your colleagues, how they're feeling, how they're doing, you know, and seeing the best way how to build those relationships further. I always say most relationships are built actually in hard time rather than in good times, you know, because you get to know each other better, but also get to know each other better how you can help them figure out how you can be best of service to others and these kind of things. So especially in these times as well.
And you already spoke about interest in someone else, how important that is, keen interest. Would you say that trust and respect are also other cornerstones for relationships in general, or is that more for only intimate friends and relationships?
No, I think it's for all. I mean, the point is not to get something out of it. It's more is to share things together, right? So I hope that most entrepreneurs, most people go into their daily lives wanting to create value to others, you know, value for yourself, but also definitely others to give that. And you can only do that if there's a certain trust and a respect and a knowledge about the person, right? So you don't want to help somebody you don't know, right? So if you think of how you want to be treated, you want to treat the others in those ways as well. And that is the same for relationship as well. Like, nobody likes to be asked to get help from somebody you don't know, you know? So if somebody comes to me, it's like, hey, can you make an intro? And I'm like, I have met you like 5 years ago, one text, you know, I'm less likely to help out, you know? So in my way, the same way, it's like, okay, if you want to be helping out, you want to be knowing what to help out on, you know? Yeah. It's mostly to get it from two sides connected, yeah.
And how do you do that? Do you, before you have a call with someone, you meet with someone, do you take some time to just think, okay, how can I help that person? Or how can I help the customers of the business relations?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of kind of the intention before you go into a conversation or?
Yeah, so I generally do, I mean, I also have to do stuff I don't like, but in generally speaking, I like to get energy from other stuff. So in case, for example, we can use this as a specific case, right? Yeah. So we know each other for a long time and we try to keep in touch as well. And then we have this thing as well. Of course, in daily life, I have less reason to like get to the nitty gritty on how you're doing. But since we have the sit down, I figured, hey, let's listen to all your other podcasts that I didn't listen yet. Yeah. Not just to prep myself, but also out of general interest, you know, so to do these kind of things. And the same happens for all my meetings as well. If I'm having a meeting, I rather have less meeting and make them qualitatively higher by doing my prep around it. Not because I think it's useful, but because I actually like it, right? So a lot of my businesses are built around like helping people. That's the whole reason why I started becoming an entrepreneur. So that extra step is very incremental to the process rather than a must do or something, you know? So then it also comes easier.
Yeah. I know for a fact that you have been staying in contact and with a lot of people over the last probably 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Have you also seen the things that go around, come around, go around?
Of course. You know, keep in touch with about, I built my own CRM system at some point just to be aware of how to see how I can improve myself. So I keep in contact now with 973 people, more or less, in different kind of stages. And then, of course, you see, I have once a year, I do one day and I go revise the kind of stuff, you know, and I see like, okay, which people do I have more trouble keeping in contact with? And then I just kind of filter it out. And sometimes something happens which is out of your context or out of your things where you think like, hey, I didn't seek this out of this person. Yeah. But for me, it's normally when somebody gets into my circle, it's very hard to get out as well, you know? So they really have to do something bad, yeah.
Do you see also things coming back to you because of all this effort, which you like, of course,
yeah.
It's is not kind of a must or a chore. Do you also see opportunities coming your way, or just in general you're more connected, you know more what's happening?
I think at some point, yeah, so there are some smaller things, or for me rather big things, but I thought it was fun. I had one colleague in one company, or an employee, I prefer saying colleague, but we was in a company. At some point we parted ways, and I figured, hey, that's okay, because for me it's more important how the person is doing than their role in the company. So if I think a person is off better in a different place, I will be the first one to send that person away. So we had this occasion. So yeah, we split ways. Then 1.5 years later, she actually applied to another company that was mine as well. And then she came back, you know? So that was for me, like, I never see it as an ending, you know? So I try to maintain those relationships. A lot of my people who have worked with us, I still keep in contact with, just out of fun, because sometimes life changes certain things. Then in terms of like business relationship, most of the stuff that brought me a lot of success were built out of this system where it's generated and it builds up. So a lot of random kind of stuff. Like, so for example, my current investors, how I met them, it's really that standard thing of contact.
Touch points.
Touching points, you know, and that's kind of a word of mouth and these kind of things. Not with the intention to raise money, but more to connect on the ideas and the mindset, and having kind of aspect where people feel like, hey, there might be something here just to talk about, you know, and then connecting it. So,
Do you also have experience with or things to share about how to manage relationships that are bad or not as good as there was a confrontation or discussion, or do you have tips how to do that? Or when you feel there's something not going well, do you just pick up the phone, or do you just prevent this usually from happening?
Yes, for me a lot goes in the preventing part. I'm not a big fan of like hot fixing, patching. My whole mindset is on long term, so I try to be earlier aware, right? So I rather take a risk earlier on, kind of figuring out like I might already have a feeling, bringing it up, rather than waiting till the end. But I think the other thing is, when it does go bad, I think you go to your ethical standards in how you want to approach it and how you perceive it, you know, and you cannot do more than your best in trying to figure out the situation where it is. And I think you develop also a certain sense if you try to put yourself in somebody other's shoes, what they're saying or where it's coming from, you know? So a lot of things, communication goes wrong very much often, right? I think most of the wars and most of the misunderstanding is because of communication. It's the way of the tonation, stuff like this, and figuring out a way to really understand what is beneath that message can clear up a lot, you know? Sometimes people just want to say something because they have something on their mind, not because they're trying to assault you, you know? But, you know, taking a step back, understanding that can solve already a lot of issues, basically. Yeah. Because people inherently, at least I believe so, are not bad, you know? It's more situational speaking or actions that cause them to do stuff, yeah.
There are underlying things going on, and you kind of read between the lines, you try to address that.
Yeah, money is, of course, a very common, of course, topic, you know, but life changes, goals changing. People try to always think, like, in a set way, a set path. So, for example, like, hey, this is how my life is going to be. And people are not really adjusted to change, you know. So when change comes there, then people act differently, irrational, you know. We have the rational side, we have the emotional side. It's very understandable from both sides. But to stay calm yourself is like the best thing you can do to figure it out, you know. And I also make those mistakes myself as well, of course.
Personally, for me, I sometimes struggle with just finding the time and energy to maintain all those relationships. Although I know it's important, especially in the evenings when I know, okay, perhaps it's now good to just get on the phone and reach out to some people. But then I just sometimes rather just pick up a book or do something else. How do you do that? Or did it just become such a habit that you just are just so used to reaching out and you pick up the phone or text people?
I think first of all, there's no bad or wrong, right? What there is something like consciously thinking about it, right? So the idea is not necessarily to have massive relation or not, or etc. But thinking about what you want is very important. And then the second thing, not caring so much about what society thinks, you know, upon these kind of things, right? So when it comes to relationship, luckily there's not such much stigma, but I think that makes all the difference. So in terms of like how do you maintain those things, or how do you deal with that when you don't feel like it? Built around it as well, like in terms of understanding what you need from those things as well, right? So I wouldn't go the extra effort when it doesn't come natural on these kind of things, but you can build steps to make it easier for you to kind of at least maintain it to a certain point, you know, pick the times, you know. So my dad, I love to talk with my dad, but he's horrible at picking the times. He always picks his time when we're driving in the car, I'm just trying to relax, and then he wants to do like a serious conversation. So it's not like I don't want to, but then I go around this kind of thing, setting my mindset that either when it does happen that I'm like, okay, he likes it, or he's not doing it on purpose, or telling him constantly like, hey, we're sitting now, we're doing a dinner now, now you can mention these things. So going around, and the same goes for like also understanding what the intent is for those things, right? So when family calls you and you don't feel like it, you can of course put down, but do understand you have to pick it up some other time, also because you want to maintain that relationship, and then figure out, okay, why are they calling, you know? So what's the point? So they don't mean it bad when they say like, how is it going on? It's mostly because they might not have other talking points, you know? So I try to search for like commonalities, you know? So I ask my dad like, hey, what is something you share, something you do, something we can always discuss about, you know, we're both passionate about. That also makes it easier to do all the other conversations. So if there's not that commonality, the first thing to become like, how are you doing? And let's say you're looking for a job or you're jobless, then it feels very intrusive. It's like, are you not doing anything? And then the gap becomes bigger, not wanting to talk. Well, if you have something to do, then it's also easy for you to share how you're actually doing. Very easy tip for me, at least, to put in practice. I try to do it as much as I can, find common things to discuss, and then I can float over to other stuff because it comes so easy when you
cannot go deep directly sometimes.
No, people really hate the standard question, how you're doing, but I think that's a lack of like preparation or building topics on where you can start from, you know, which is more more nice for both parties, essentially speaking.
But do you try to go deep in conversations very fast after a few minutes, or do you just like small talk a lot and you can just easily do that for 20-30 minutes?
So I think if you think culture wise, you know, so there are countries where that's easier to do or not, I'm rather fine with it. But of course I think anyone likes more a deeper conversation, you know, because you can also have deeper conversation that requires less like brain stamina, I would say. And the way to do that is to understand what the person is doing, or they knowing what you're doing, and then heading more to that direction, right? I mean, you always start with like standard things like hello, the weather, but if you're something to catch up, like let's say I know you're doing certain research, I will go more deep into this. Like when we started, we all started talking about the previous topics you did, you know, the topics we have today, where it comes from, and it easily goes to the more depth instead of saying like, hey, how's the coffee, you know?
And when you look at all the different relationship groups that you maintain and have, you have, of course, I think you have a lot of founders, other entrepreneurs that you speak to, and of course you can share certain things with them because they know how it's like.
And how
important are actually mentors, almost teachers, people that are 10-20 years further down the line? Is that important? Even perhaps investors who are more experienced?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a big fan of like interdisciplinary, like cross-functional kind of things, not just in communication, but also in relationship, because I think the nicest things come from combining things, you know? I think that's how we invent, you know? Yeah. I don't think there's one inventor that built really from scratch, right? Every idea, every equation is built from another equation further on, and having different kind of aspects. So mentors and relationship is definitely a good way to kind of like emphasize that, you know? But also consciously thinking about what do you need, you know, in terms of that, right? People complement opposite, these type of things. So I used to give like a mentor training, like understanding what different type of people there are, what different type of mentors there are, and how they are into the race. I never thought of it that mentors would become important. So I'm not sure if we have enough time, but I have a short story about like when I was young, I became relatively arrogant quite quickly. I sold my company quite at a young age, another company as well. I started it, and at some point this older man goes to me, is his name, and he said to me, Dennis, you should get a mentor. And I was like, what is a mentor? So he started explaining. He said like, yeah, somebody with more experience, etc., explaining you what best things to do. And I was like, why would I want it? I think I already know everything, right? Or at least at that point. And I quickly shift my mind, and I later found out that actually Jaap was one of the first mentors for me. And then when that once that hit, I was like, okay, I want to dive more deep into it and find other mentors. I picked up the phone book and I started calling people in like areas where I thought like, hey, that's my interest in and I can add also something to them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. To give something back in return.
As well. Yeah, I think so. I think what people are a bit afraid. So for anyone listening and thinking like, okay, so mentors are incremental life changing. For me, at least it is, because people are, but mentors are a bit more closer, like almost like fans of what you're doing, then I think it becomes very important to like seek that out and find the right ones and go over it. But the barrier is always like, if I have an older person or more experienced person helping me out, what value do I add to them? But inherently, people like helping each other, so don't feel too bad about that, right? If they don't like it, if they ask money or something, it's wrong, right? But you know, if you connect with another person, there's nothing nicer in life than connecting with another person. And I can assure you, there's always something in it for the other ones from the conversation themselves as well. Now being myself also in the role of mentor as well, mentees always ask me like, hey, should I buy your drinks or stuff like that? I'm like, no, I also get something out of it. Just helping you inspire me as well, you know, or you give me different thoughts as well, you know, and you keep yourself sharp. Yeah,
you're already segueing to my next question about you being a mentor.
Yeah.
Because I think you became a mentor yourself for younger or at least in more inexperienced entrepreneurs at a young age. How did that go?
I still don't see myself as a mentor. I see myself more as a person having and having like trying to make moments or trying to help others out, right? So I think mentor is too broad of a word, right? I don't like the stigma of calling myself a mentor. I think it came naturally when you want to spend more time helping somebody else out, right? And then you give the formal name of a mentor and then you try to find figure ways how to do that, right? So there's an initial part of context, but there's also a lot of talking, these type of things as well. And for me, it just naturally progressed, right? And then I started to be part of different groups. I started coming into a new group and then automatically taking that role. But I see myself in any group as much as a mentor as I see myself as a mentee, right? So we share one group together, of course. And I remember the first conversation that we did and I was learning so much from the others. And at the same time, I was also giving my 2 cents. And then once you have more experience, of course, those 2 cents get a bit more depth, you know, and it feels more valuable. And then people start to call you a mentor or see perceiving as that, but I don't like the label. I just see it as like, you know, what can we share to help each other out?
Yeah. And those moments can also be reflective for yourself as well, right? You're
always actually. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And the ones who don't say so, yeah, then they're not really good mentors, you know? It's like, you should always be open to other people, their feedback. You know, of course you have your distinguished, these kind of things as well, but learning about how to deal with others is very inherently important with this kind of thing. And you get new insights, you know, because through the questions, through the moments of the questions, you kind of look back at what is good or what worked for you, you know. There's not one answer to a problem, you know. So, and that gives kind of the context, you know. Yeah.
You are in business with your brother. He's a co-founder of Dash Mode. How is it like with loyalty and how long term is that? Is it, because it's probably quite hard to say, okay, we are just parting ways here.
Yeah. I mean, of course, there's business parts, so sometimes you cannot just quit tomorrow, stuff like this. But in generally speaking, I think when it comes to relationship, you never want to not work at them, right? So you never want to go to the state like, hey, we reached this level, now nothing can break. No, it's the opposite, right? The name of the podcast is Grow Tribute. I massively believe in growing, always growing, right? So setting your mindset to that, and also goes with your relationship. But for me to be able to grow also means that you should be always the thing that you can let go as well. So anytime a person within my company says like, hey, new contract, I always say like, do you still want to be here? Do you still want to work here? I'm a massive believer in loyalty, because for me, loyalty means you're not working in a relationship anymore. You're leaning on something that's existing. I think that's okay to do that for a short while. But for me, it's always like making sure, are we still working at it? Do I still know what you want, what you're going towards? Does it still match with what I can offer, where we can go to, and going to that and stuff. So when it comes to my brother, it's the same thing where I ask like, are you still happy? You know, do you feel still you're getting personal growth, business growth out of this? Do you still enjoy collaborating in this way with me? Yeah. If not, he can say, or at least say, well, I'm having some doubt, and then we can start thinking about like what makes sense. Because if that is already there, but you don't speak about it, it will end anyways. People see things as forever, but you have to keep working at that, you know? Yeah. So I go with any relationship into it as a long-term aspect, but it doesn't mean for me like keeping working with them 24/7, right?
So loyalty is perhaps even a little bit overrated. It's more important to look at, okay, are we still happy with the way it goes? Are we still growing?
Exactly.
The same goes with employees.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like to call them employees, but you always look at, okay, how are you doing? How do you want to grow? What are your dreams, your ambitions?
Yeah, of course. It's a big honor when people decide to spend time with you, you know, and also when employees decide or colleagues decide to work together with you, you know, so you want to honor that thing as well. It's not like, hey, I pay your salary. No, we make that salary together, right? So also, they join for certain things, right? I mean, what is the whole purpose of what we're doing, you know, is to give to others and make things, etc. So I think coming to that question, indeed, is loyalty for me is like this thing where it's like, okay, hey, you did something for me, now you're fixed, you know? So it should always be like a mutual relationship kind of thing. That's why for me, interviews with new people is not about like, hey, are you good enough to join? No. But rather, what can I add to you, you know? And what can you add to me? And what can we add already now? What can we add in the future? And then saying like, okay, hey, we're going to be spending time together, you know? And then seeing where it heads, you know? That's why you have contract duration, 6 months, 1 month. And after you upgrade it, you know, and these type of things. Yeah, it's a bond you're trying to form, of course, right? Yeah. Because you're in it for the same thing.
Yeah, we do the same with people that we hire or people that we speak with. Of course, there is job that needs to be done because I have a business. Yeah. There are business goals, and we need to act like a team to get there.
Yeah.
But I always try to ask the question. Yeah, that relates to their dreams, their ambitions, how they want to grow as a person. In which environment they thrive, they should work. And sometimes the outcome is, okay, this is not the place for you.
Yeah.
I really advise you to talk with another person or another entrepreneur.
Exactly. I cannot add more to that. That is exactly how I look at it as well, right? So the idea of it is doing stuff together, having an adventure together with another person or multiple persons, rather than what is the end goal, you know? And of course, there's a business part, so it has to make sense. There has to be value created, you know? That's where a portion of the building is on. But besides that, you know, it should be mutually beneficial in having and the joy in either growing or experience things together.
So then I think to circle back to the beginning, so relationships in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, would you say that it's that having a keen interest in the other person, knowing what the person needs, wants, is pivotal?
I think that's the main thing. I think invest in relationships, you know, genuinely, you know, and get more out of it, right? As with anything, how much you put in it, the more you get out of it. And that is not just time, right? It's about like qualitative, how you perceive it. So people overthink like, yeah, but I feel bored. I don't want to spend time on it. Then the question is, why are you trying to build a relationship, you know? So it's more about like consciously thinking on how to do that. And then wonderful things can happen, you know, both in personal life or in business life when you try to work towards something together.
And I think the best experiences in life are usually with other people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's much more, especially a good friend of mine who sold his company, and he had a whole different stigma about how to perceive it. And he made massive quickly success. You know, he saw more employees or people as kind of tools to reach his target, which for him was like financial freedom. Once he got it, he had nothing else. I think it's still nice. I mean, he lives in a nice house and stuff like this, but it's really hard to get all the other stuff, you know? Well, if for me, life is about like experience things, you know, rather than the monetary part, you know? So building the connection is part of why you're doing things, basically. So I think happiness comes from social interaction, you know? Yeah. And social interaction starts with building relationships. So it's a logical thing, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. So let's finish off with one practical thing that people can do to boost their relationships, their entire network.
Yeah.
Then would you say it is something like, okay, see for yourself first, okay, what kind of relationships do I need and what kind of people am I looking for?
Yeah.
Or is it more like just
Yeah.
Go with the flow. I know that it helps, and just.
I think it's a fun exercise, maybe to do that anyone can do for fun. I didn't talk so much about my systematic and how I specific do my stuff. So anyone wants to know, I can reach out. But I think one thing what you can do is kind of write down all the people you're trying to have relationship with, you know, and see in what way you do that. You know, at least have kind of a mapping with your grandma, your parents, your stuff like this, and figure out that list, and then think about like, okay, where am I getting the energy out and which one I want to spend more time on, you know, and just constantly thinking about that with that exercise, just writing down all the names of people you want to keep in close contact with, you know, and then you can figure out systematic ways to like make that more in-depth and more quality rich and more warm, you know, and I think that's a good start.
Yeah, very useful exercise.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for being here. Very grateful for yeah.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah,
and
nice,
sharing also these things with our viewers and listeners.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And let's keep
growing. Yeah. Let's keep growing.